Hey, what's going on, Black Kids family? This is Daryl from the Straight Outta Low Cash podcast and my blog from Ashy Classy, ashy2classy.net. But I just want to lay in on a little bit on the topic last week with the Think Like a Lady situation. I think one of the major problems is that men haven't evolved much in time in general. And when people say this, they got to look at me funny. But what I mean by that is the fact that if you look at history, a man now at my age can go talk to a man in 1920. Besides cultural differences, me and him had the same exact conversation about women, things like that. And we had the same kind of views and same kind of way we look at life almost to an extent when it comes to that. But a woman that's 2012 couldn't go talk to a woman that was in 1920. They would have nothing in common, nothing to talk about. And that aspect shows you to the extent of that we weren't, you know, the evolutionary process. Now, I'm not saying that men haven't evolved, but we are evolving and we constantly, but we're not evolving as fast as women have and coming up to new times and things like that. But at the same time, on the other side of the coin, when it comes to independence with women, though, it seems like, from my experience, that a lot of women want to be independent only when it's convenient for them to be independent, if that makes sense. They want everything that goes with the chivalry and the man taking care of everything, but as soon as you would say something to the extent of something that, quote-unquote, messes with their independence, then it's a problem. So which one is it or where is it at? You know, that's a deeper question, and I'm not saying I have the answer. This is something that I've just come and seen.
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have a beautiful round table in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris Lehman, Toria Williams, Merc 80, and John and Triana Wood. And tonight's topic is, again, yet not really a topic. We're doing listener feedback on this week's session. And tonight's listener is Daryl Frierson from Ashy the Classy blog and the Straight Outta Low Cash podcast. Hi, Daryl. He's a good brother. And he left us a message talking about a few things in regards to relationships, but one being the idea of women wanting to be independent when it's convenient. Also the idea that the modern day woman has nothing in common with women of before, as where men have not really evolved at all over time as far as his perspective is concerned. And then finally, the idea that we're dating smarter now in our current generation because we're not really dating for survival, or people are not getting married for survival purposes, which to me probably would tie into the idea of people getting married for business reasons as well. People are looking to connect on, I guess, stronger levels, deeper levels. He has some really good points to make. I want to know how the family felt about everything Mr. Frierson had to say.
Well, I think that he addressed an interesting topic, which is the way in which men and women have changed or not changed respectively over a fair number of generations. And see where he was coming from with that. Of course, one of the things he said was that if you were to take a man from our current era and take him back to the 1920s, you know, sit himself down with his counterpart from way back then, they could have a conversation and basically relate to each other past some superficial differences, just about as two guys today could. But if you were to do the same thing with two women, they would not be able to, because women, in his words, have evolved much more than men have. Of course, you know, a woman's place in society has shifted a lot. There's no doubt about that. It used to be that a woman's place was in the home and not in the workplace, not at the ballot box. You know, you were to be at home cooking. And that's what you were. That's what you were supposed to do.
And barefoot and pregnant. Don't leave that out.
Right. Especially barefoot. I don't know. But of course, you know, now we live in an age, and particularly in the African American community, where women are very often the breadwinners. And I think this may be true across American society in general, that there are more women graduating from college today than there are men, you know? So men, on average, still make a little more money than women do. And part of that, there's some evidence that there may be some discrimination going on in different workplaces. But the trajectory is clear. Women are becoming more and more influential, more and more powerful, more and more economically empowered. But it's because of that I might disagree with the brother slightly, because if I were to go back in time and chat it up with, you know, John Wood from the 1920s or whatnot, I better not say that, because then I'll have to be talking about Triana Wood from the 1920s, and she's likely to be just as crazy. But if I was to talk to another guy from the 1920s, of course, if I'm talking to him about women, he's probably going to have a somewhat different conception of the way women tend to be and how he can get away with treating a woman than I can, because a woman's place in society has shifted and, you could argue, elevated in our current time. You know, there are ways in which I think you could sort of treat women or talk about women in generations gone by that you really can't get away with today. There are expectations you would not have of women back then that a man, you know, is liable to have of women today. So I don't think that things are... I understand his point. Men have perhaps not changed, except that as women change, men do change as well. And so now you have an age now where, you know, as women become empowered, you had a lot of men who are sort of willing to sit back and be house husbands and be pampered and taken care of themselves. Those dudes ain't really like the dudes in the 1920s either. So, not you know, no. So you know, as women change, so do men to some degree.
I agree.
Yeah, I think this evolvement.
Go ahead.
I think this evolvement has, it is affected the black community in a way, because we don't seem to know how to adjust to it. We're still like, you know, we deal with the whole is an independent woman, and we don't want a woman making more money than us, and how do we feel about that? All those questions we have to deal with now. And, you know, with a lot of us, a lot of brothers in jail, single family, all the, you know, issues that we deal with in our community. I think this is something we have to look at and figure out how we're going to deal with it. Because it's not like women are going to go back to like, oh, okay, well, I'm cool with making no money and basically living off of you. I mean, there's still women who are going to do that. But, you know, you have a lot more women who now, if I have a daughter, I want to raise her to be like, get, you know, dream big, not, oh... You know, because
let me find a husband who can help me live big.
Yeah, that'd be a different conversation. You know, speaking as a father to somebody in their 20s, if they have a daughter, they're like, I'm trying to find the right dude so I can get her taken care of.
Right.
Where nowadays, you know, I'm like, most guys are like, I'm not raising my daughter to like, I need you to find a man so you can be all right. I'm like, I'm gonna raise you to be all right.
And exactly. That,
you know, you're not gonna need a man to put a roof over your head, get you a car, you know. Be able to provide for yourself.
And maybe it's just us or people who live in various regions, but I know in Los Angeles, a two-person income is kind of necessary, you know what I mean, to live comfortably if you're going to have kids and all that other stuff. So you want to have two people that are working. I don't think we really live in a time period where people, well, not everybody, not a whole lot of people are making enough money to be able to have just one person providing all the income for the household. You know, there are those few, NBA and all of that. Right.
When we're talking about the difference of standards and survival and stuff like that, I don't know if we're necessarily being completely honest. I think that there are probably some things that we're leaving out, such as the economy is not doing well, that if you are making, you know, 100,000 and up, you're in a very different echelon. So if you, let's say, are a black woman college graduate and are making six figures and you want to find your counterpart, then you probably don't want to necessarily date someone who's making 30,000 or 40,000. You know, a dude that's making 30,000 or 40,000. You want somebody who's probably making near where you are, because what you're bringing to the table and what your stability is going to be, and the way that you're going to probably desire certain things and certain standard of living is going to be different. So you have to kind of ask yourself, okay, am I willing to date somebody who's making, you know, half as much as me, or do I want somebody who's making as much or more? And usually people say, men and women say, I want somebody who's equal to where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, I think, even maybe not totally spoken, is because I don't want to have to either take care of someone, and I want it to be where we're maximizing our income, because when we have children, then we maximize their success and we maximize each other's success and things like that. So the idea of survival may not necessarily be so much as, yo, I got to make sure that there's even just food in the house. You know, somebody has to work, but it's also a survival of a changing time where you have the vast majority of people who are not middle class, who are, you know, barely getting $30,000-$40,000 a year, and then compared to those that are making a whole lot of money. So then you're saying, well, either I'm going to be back here or I'm going to be leading the charge in the front. And so that's kind of also a whole different thing of, like, you know, do I necessarily need to make that much money to be happy?
But
at the same time, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to be happy if I ain't got a Benz. You know, a lot of people are saying, I'm not going to be happy unless I have a house in a nice neighborhood. So, and some of that has to do with, you know, survival because of, you know, crime and everything else. But, you know, that's my basic spiel. But in the gist of things, things have changed, but, you know, it has a slightly different face, but I think still kind of the same weight to it of survival.
Okay.
I'd like to comment on the part, you know, being quote unquote the independent woman, the college graduate, decent salary. That is your drive, or that has been my drive, or that was my drive. But as you get older and as you start to experience life more, for me personally, I start to question, what else do I value in life? You know, so if I'm trying to be equally yoked, I also know that means that we're equally going to be worked, overworked,
mm-hmm.
drained and worked.
Mm-hmm.
So then if we're having children, who's taking care of the kids? You know, when are we spending time with the kids? Is our relationship suffering because we're both out here chasing six-figure jobs, you know, and we're sustaining a home with nice cars and things like that? So I think for me, you know, and it's funny because I always hear the independent woman thing, and it's just driving me crazy, you know. And maybe because I'm tired of working, you know, and I'm like, do you really think I'm getting up every day like, yes, I'm independent? No, I mean, I feel blessed to be able to provide for myself, but I wouldn't necessarily say that is my first choice. I get it when women say, oh, I don't need a man to do this. I get it when you've been taken advantage of, or you've been in a situation where someone has thrown it up in your face that you're eating off of me, so shut it up, or you're eating off of me so you don't have a say-so. But I think things are changing where you're starting to see more women say, hey, you know, I'm willing to step back, or I'm willing to get the guy who's not making as much as me if he's nice and he's genuine and he's, you know, we're building things that sustain us and that mean something to us more than just the money. You know what I mean? Because I think while the recession was a bad thing, I think there's some good things that came out of that. You know, it's never a good thing, obviously, when a person loses their job. But it put some people back at home. Yeah. It made some people pay attention to each other. It made some people pay attention to what really matters, you know, and saying, okay, well, do we really need this much money? And I'm not saying money can't buy you happiness, because I think it was Oprah or someone who said, like, yeah, people who say that don't have no money, you know? You know?
She's still single?
Look,
you're trying to holler.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? But I think it's a give and take. I don't necessarily think that all of these independent women out here are looking for an equal partner. Yes, there are some. But I think also you start to question, what makes me happy? You know, and sometimes we make it up the ladder because we don't have anything else popping in our lives right now. So might as well, you know, I don't have children, I don't have a man, you know, so you may not have other things going. Or the same thing, you're throwing yourself into all this volunteer work and all these extracurricular activities, but I don't think that that's necessarily a woman's first choice unless she's going after something that's her passion or her dream,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's different when you meet that attorney, that lady who's a lawyer and says, this has always been my dream, as opposed to the woman who's like, I went to law school, I made it, I've been successful, they made me partner, and that's why I'm here, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Very true. And I feel, and I'm maybe wishful thinking on my part, but I'm starting to see the tide change when it comes to dating, when I'm talking to people who are single in their 30s, both men and women. I think 2011 and 2012 was like just years of dogging single, independent, successful women. I mean, it, there couldn't have been enough books written.
I was scared
written.
To say I had a job. Right.
There were so many books written. There were articles written. There were films that came out. And so much commentary, but nobody really given any answers to the situation. Just more judgment, pointing fingers. And I feel like things are slowly starting to make a change. Well, Johan, say what you said, Merc. Sorry. What you said really hit home with me, too, because there really is no middle class. People are either making it or they're struggling. And people are coming together either so they can really make it, you know, and be so far away from the struggle that it's not even anything that they can relate to, or to try to keep each other from struggling, trying to keep each other afloat and be middle class kind of so together. So we do have a bit of that survival happening as well. But I don't know. I want to feel positive about folks coming together. I was definitely having a moment there where I was like, I'm just giving up on black people and black love. It just is not going to happen.
I'm tired of them. Y'all the only ones I like.
Merc, no. Ladies, write in so we can get Merc back to our team. Because I can't see another article telling me to watch out for the non-black woman. Can't take it. Can't stomach it. I don't want
to. Are we going to talk about that, too? We going to end up talking
about
that.
You know what? It's up to you guys. We can either continue to add
stop
on
threatening
to this.
Me with the non-black woman.
Yeah. And that's please it. Stop circulating that whack-ass supposed letter that was written by a white woman naming right. off all the black men that white women have stolen over the years and telling us how we need to get more like them because that's how we'll be able to get a black man. And then, of course, you have the wondrous savior of a black man who responds to the letter.
Don't believe the hype, sisters. Well. Don't believe it.
You know what I say? What's funny to me is...
we got
to
have this conversation.
With that letter, you said that a white woman wrote the letter. I was like, white men get whoever the hell they want. Mm-hmm. I was like, I see white men with Asian women all the time. Yes. I see them with non-white women all the time.
Yes, a lot of black women, especially now.
Let people love who they want to love without throwing me under the bus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
If that's who you love, that is who you love.
Then you don't care why I feel the way I feel.
I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to say this.
Under the bus.
I'm going to say this.
Agreed.
I'm going to say this still tied to this subject. A lot of people are looking for relationships more for survival than I think a lot of people are willing to admit. And part of that survival is a aesthetic of power wherever they can get it. So if I date a white man, if I date a white woman, if I date a black man, if I date a black woman, it's a lot of people. And I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm saying that a lot of people, they're... The narrative in their head of what they're going to have is by any means necessary. So if I got to do this, if I got to get that, then that's what I'm going to do. Here. So, okay.
Here,
you know.
I'll say it this way because I love black women. For me, when it comes to relationships, when I look at it in every particular culture, to me, black men and black women are the closest in terms of being equal. Like there's no, you know, behind a good black man is a good black woman and you know, you feel like, you know, the woman is the one who runs the household. So there is that somewhat of a balance when it comes to us. Every other race seems to be the scale tips higher and the man is more on the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's always a male dominance.
Right. And there are probably a lot of black men who I can either say want a woman who's more docile or I can just say who just scared of a black woman. Who just like a woman who's like, I have my own opinion and this is what I think and this is what I want to do and you gonna respect that. And be like, yeah, why don't I just deal with somebody who I say, we doing this. When I say jump, they say how high, you know, versus women say, when I say jump, you're like, where are we jumping?
But go ahead.
I beg to differ because I know that there is a black man for every black woman that would make her silent. You know, that would say, yes, I don't think we're all... There are those who probably aren't going to be silent for anybody. You know what I mean? But I do believe that we love black men hard despite it. Like, we love hard in both ways. Hard, like, hard to deal with us, love you. But hard, like, I got your back. You know, so it's a little... I wouldn't even say frustrating, but... I definitely give the side eye and roll my eyes when brothers throw us under the bus and let us know, like, you better watch out because if you don't do it, the white woman will. I'm like, just love on her. You know what I mean? Because I couldn't imagine if I was with a man And he says to the other woman, yeah, you know, I'm not with you. So you better watch out because she's getting it. Love me for me. Let me be the only thing falling off your tongue if I'm going to be with you. Don't make it seem like you're with me because somebody else failed. And that's how it comes across, is you're not with me, or you're letting your white woman know or your Asian woman know, I'm only with you because black women are failing. And then I'm like, well, wait, why am I failing? Why don't you just love on her for who she is? Because the same would be like, you know, watch our brothers. You know them white men is taking care of their kids. Watch our brothers. White men is graduating.
That's actually what I've been hearing.
Who says that? And where is that? Where is that publicized?
You have a lot of us who wouldn't be like, who'd be like, okay, and I do shit like, all right, well, whatever.
What's cracking me up, though, Chris, what you said is making me think. The idea that most black men have probably been raised in an environment where they have seen women as being either equal or close to equal to men, mm-hmm, would make them a more attractive prospect for women of other cultures, period, because they wouldn't be interacting with the woman necessarily to put her in a subservient position. Mm-hmm. You know, so that might be one reason that I hadn't thought of before that makes black men so attractive to women of other races. You know, we can talk about the sexual myths aside, but just how they come to women is not in a way of necessarily trying to say I'm the man and you're here, but coming at equal standing. And so that might be why you guys seem to be so coveted by women of other races and therefore scarce to women, available to women in your own race from time to time.
And one of the things black women love about black men is their strength. Like, we love a strong black man that takes charge and take the lead. Now,
because we know your strength in a way.
This is not to, you know, dismiss the sister that's just mouthy all on you. You know, she doesn't deserve the chance to date anybody until she gets herself right anyway.
Right.
But we love a black man's strength. You know, we'll laugh with our homegirls. Like, girl, he was like, get it together. And I was like, he got me a jack. You know? Those conversations do exist. Yeah. They do exist. They do happen, you know. You know, we got a little hush puppy in us. Where we just come out screaming like strong She-Ras of the world. But I think that's what makes us beautiful, you know? And that's what makes us even more attracted to black men.
Yeah, because one
gets
of the
old. I will say it gets old. I'm not the one
to. Our attitude gets old?
No, just the whole, like, perpetrating, like, the whole, you better watch out. Because I'm like, in general, for any person, you can just be like, well, if that's the kind of woman you want or that's the kind of man you want, then go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, because you can do that when it comes in your own race. Well, I need a man to make six figures. And like, what if you're not there yet? Well, I said, I'm like, all right, well, good luck finding that dude. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and try to put you down. When I'm gonna be like, well, if that's what you want, I'm not it. Let's not waste each other's time.
Yeah, and I did have a brother say to me one time that he purposely liked to say things that would irritate black women, because when black women get mad, he finds it sexy. Right. He's like, y'all get so angry and it's kind of sexy. He's like, it's sexy and annoying at the same time. And I remember I mentioned that to another brother, and he was like, you know what? He has a point. It is kind of sexy when y'all get mad because y'all flame up so quick. Right. And we try to understand, like, why did that just set her off?
Right.
He's like, and then it gets annoying because y'all don't let it go. But
we don't know how to stop swinging.
Right. Yohansei, what's going on over there?
I was talking about podcast topics of dating cross-culturally, black cross-culturally. And, you know, because I think that sometimes we forget that there's black people all over the place. And there are similar aspects of cultural values in lots of places. I've heard that you know, black American women are very similar to some Caribbean women in that, you know, Caribbean women will go off of you in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? But one of the things I was talking about was there's a documentary, I guess you could call it that, of a guy who was talking to black men in their response of leaving America and marrying women from Brazil, or moving to Brazil at least. And I have, you know, I have friends that they went to Brazil, they found wives and whatever have you. And I have friends that have gone to Brazil, and they've definitely told me of clear, distinct differences in the display of care in that culture as opposed to American culture. And so as much as I think a lot of black women think that a lot of those women are just automatically being submissive, it's not necessarily a submissiveness as much as it is a different kind of affection. It's a different kind of care. And it's a kind of care that can probably dangerously borderline on being kind of maternal, and that a lot of guys kind of want to be taken care of and stuff like that. But a lot of the response is, well, you know, guys are finding girls out there that are probably, you know, don't have a lot of money and they just want to be taken care of. And I'm like, well, probably so, but there's a lot of American women that are like that. Mm-hmm. And so the question is that if I am going to take care of a woman, then how is she taking care of me? What am I getting in return? And so the kind of care that a lot of the black men are saying that they get from the Brazilian women is an actual, you know, besides, I guess, at least sexually, like a complete care of giving of power in a sense of, you know, respect or whatever have you. Whereas here, if I'm saying, well, I'm taking care of you, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, well, then it becomes, you know, you kind of get a backlash for it. So I'm not saying endorsing it necessarily. I'm just saying that that happens.
Oh, no. I think it goes back to picking and choosing when to be independent. It's that whole, like, I want to have some power, but I want to be taken care of. That's the thing, like, I want to be taken care of, but I still need to provide for myself. Cause, I mean, that's what single women deal with nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I've been forced to provide for somebody else, you know, not like, well, it's just me. And I have to provide for my kids, so I provide this household. So I don't want anybody who, you know, basically can't at least keep that to the same to me, it seemed like keep that to the same level if I don't work. That's the other line that I don't hear. Mm-hmm. I read it like, all right, I want somebody who can take, you know, I still want somebody who can take care of me. Like, you basically what you want is, I've done it at this level, and I need a man who, at least if I can't do it, or we have more children and I decide not to work, that the level that I came in with is not going to drop.
Okay. I want to maintain everything to be the exact same, even if I choose to not do something.
Yeah, because if I go back to the traditional woman archetype, I'd just be at the house taking care of you and, you know, succeeding the power to you. I just need to know when I give up this power,
can you sustain it?
You're not going to fuck it up, basically.
Can you sustain it?
But then that's still kind of being, isn't that still kind of being kind of self-centered? That's still saying, if I choose not to do it, then it's still going to be the same lifestyle for me also. Because it's not going to be the same lifestyle for the guy.
No.
Necessarily. Like, now the guy is going to say, well, now there's $30,000 that I got to make up for.
Right.
There's more things that I got to make up for in terms of what was happening.
Right.
So.
But they don't want to give. There's not that adjustment on their end. It's like, all right, I'm going to give up the money.
Yeah, oh, no.
Everything else.
Oh, no.
Everything else is. I'm succeeding the cash, but
where's the win in that? Yeah,
my stance.
Is the win in?
My control is still the same.
Where is the win in?
I'm saying that if the communication is of what I feel like I'm not going to do, then where is it? What are you going to give? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what I'm hearing.
It would be like a mutual decision. I don't think, like, the woman would just be like, I'm not going to work, and it's okay.
I hope so.
Right.
Well, that's because you have class.
I think that can only happen to a person who allows it to happen also. Like, if she's saying, you know, I want to stay at home and take care of the kids, then that's a conversation. What does that mean for the both of us? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think for me, like, as a working woman to make that decision, I do know that that's going to mean some sacrifices, like, because I'm giving up from being a single woman who just works every day to saying, okay, now I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to work. I know that that's going to mean sacrifices in my life as well, not just financially, period, because obviously now I'm holding down a household. Obviously, I'm giving up some of my freedoms. Obviously, that means, like, the extra money I had or the extra time that I had just for me, that may not exist because you may not be able to expect your husband to say, yeah, whenever you want to, however you want to, go on trips with you and your friends. That may not be the case now that you're not working anymore, you're staying home and you're taking care of the family and the kids. Mm-hmm. So I think on both ends, it's a sacrifice. But my original statement was that I don't see the woman just making that decision and that not being discussed. And if that happens, then where was that man to step up and be like, no, this doesn't work for me. You know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't be able to say to you, okay, I'm not working anymore. I'm staying at home and taking care of the kids without you having some input in that.
I agree.
Yeah.
But there's some women that'll be like, this is the standard. See, the thing is I think a lot of women don't realize that 90% of what guys do a lot of times is to get a woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the times what we do is based upon the standard that, like, sometimes there's, of course, I think that people in their right mind need to have, like, a kind of reflexive kind of standard procedure or standards, at least. But a lot of times the guy is saying, okay, well, I need to make this amount of money. I need to do this so that I can get this girl. And then if I get this girl, then I need to be doing the things that set this whole thing off. Mm-hmm. And so when a girl says, well, I need a guy that's making at least six figures, because if I decide that I don't want to work, then he's going to take care of the house. So then that's not presented as a negotiable issue. That's presented as this is what it's going to be. Right. So I completely understand what you're saying, and that you should recognize when that's going to happen. But a lot of times guys are going into it saying, I need to be prepared to take all of this on, and that she's not going to negotiate on this. This is what I have to do.
And so then
my question is that if I am going to take that on, then my next question is what's going to happen in that non-negotiation? Like, sometimes communicating non-negotiable is being self-centered, at least to me. Like, when I hear things that are non-negotiable, then that becomes something that becomes like, okay, this is what I want, and that's all that it's going to be because I want it. You know what I mean?
Maybe I'm not hearing you correctly, but let me see if I am.
Uh-huh.
You do think that there is a place for some non-negotiables, correct? Or no?
Yes.
Okay. So I think there should be some non-negotiables, but when it comes to something like that, that particular I'm staying at home, I think that has to be a mutual agreement. That has to be something both parties value. For me personally, like, I look at my married friends, and just from what I can tell, it seems a lot easier in situations where the woman is either not working at all or she's working less, because it gives her full attention on the home and on the kids and taking care of things that need to be taken care of as it relates to the family. The extra component when both parties are working, and this is the thing that I fear most when I said about everybody chasing those six figures, I'm burnt out, you're burnt out. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Well, what about the kids? What about these bills? What about this? What about that?
Like, what about each other?
And each other gets lost. Because almost when one party isn't working, they take on the responsibility of creating that atmosphere for us. Mm-hmm. If we're both working and we're both chasing, it doesn't say that it couldn't work. You know, because I know happily married couples where both are working. But it seems easier when someone isn't out there on that American chase. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not talking about telling someone to shut down their dreams. Because if someone has dreams, whether it's the man or the woman, in many ways, as their partner, you're obligated to support it. Now, to what extent you support it and to what detriment you support it, that's a whole nother conversation. But if you're genuinely in love with that person, this person wants to pursue this, you have to support it, you know? Mm-hmm. You may also have to be like, honey, you know, reel it back in. I was speaking with a friend today who was saying her female friend brings home six figures. The husband isn't bringing home anything. And so they constantly ask her, like, you know, what's up? You know, like, isn't this wearing you out? And she said, I make enough money for him to just pursue his dream.
And it's really none of their business. Well, that's me.
Right. Right. You know?
But I think that part of that question, and part of the question I'm really asking, because what you're saying is that in those situations, the other person is doing something to provide for both. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is the women who are like the basketball wives, where I want to be able to stay at home,
but see,
and then it's supposed to be for us, but it's really kind of like you have a princess lifestyle that you've wanted, and that being provided.
Just in you describing it, though, I have no surprise as to why those particular women are single. You can't be out there on the market shopping with that kind of requirement.
Right.
Any woman that's saying to a man, you know, in order for us to be together, I need you to eventually be in a position or be all right with the fact that one day I'm going to stop working and you're going to provide for us. What the hell is that? Like, if you guys aren't coming into a situation where he's already financially there and saying to you, this is what I want to do for you, you can't demand that of anybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially if you're not already doing something really magnificent, you know, and bringing it to the table where you can have that kind of conversation or negotiation, financial negotiation with somebody. But if you're dating with that requirement on your list, prepare to stay single.
Right.
Because there's no room for conversation there.
And there is an element I don't ever want, because sometimes, and this is where that whole independent woman thing messes things up. There is an element in there, and I've said this before, where all ladies want to be treated like a lady.
Yes.
You know? So treat me like the princess you can afford to treat me as. You know what I mean? Like, know me well enough to know, like, she knows that I'm not making six figures, but I do know what would tickle her fancy. You know what I mean? So I think we have to be cautious, because women, I don't know many women who want to lose their lady or who have to sacrifice their lady for the sake of being an independent woman or for the sake of proving to you, like, no, I'm going to get out here and work and hold it down with you. There aren't many of us that want to be the man, you know, we don't. We still want to put on our heels and support the household. And that may be supporting the household as your at-home wife or supporting the household when I'm out here and us both chasing it. But I still want to be a lady. I still want that princess treatment. And for me, that when I say that, like, sometimes women have to be shy and a little sheepish about saying, yeah, I want to be treated, you know. No, I'm saying it boldly and loudly. We want to be treated. You know, it's saying to me something that you're willing to do. To me, it's not the actual gift. It's not the actual item. It's saying you pay attention and you're telling me, yeah, I think you're worth it. Because, and that's what they say, a happy wife makes for a happy life. Or, you know, because I'm going to give back that 10 times more anyway, because it's just in our nature to give and make you feel all good and nurture you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't want that to get lost in this conversation where it sounds like I got your back all the way to the end and I'm going to, No.
What's going to be interesting is we're going to start having some podcasts with some younger folks. I'm going to call it the 20-somethings.
Now, they definitely date differently.
They date very differently.
Very differently.
And I think even if we were having a conversation like this, it would look differently, because what they've done is take a look at all of us and people older than us and have made some assessments of their own. And even, I'm talking like young 20s, like 21, 22. They're even looking at late 20s and kind of like scrutinizing. And I think that when it comes to relationships, they're considering all sorts of alternatives that didn't even cross our minds at all as options of ways to be in relationship with folks.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting when we start podcasting
and
with them.
And I think, too, with them, I've noticed you're too old for them.
What do you mean? Like, have long distance and local?
Well, you know.
They like checking your background on Google and all that. They like...
Yeah, but
they
also
date
too,
you online first and then meeting you.
Right. Okay.
What I've seen missing is that lady element. Like, those girls don't necessarily need that lady element.
No, I had a girl tell me one time, because I was
saying really
something
are equals.
To her. Yeah, I was saying something to her, like, you know, you wouldn't want to do that because you're a lady. And she was like, no, I don't think of myself as a lady. I'm not a lady. And I was really taken aback, like, ooh.
Yeah,
what do we consider ourselves if we're
like,
not
we're,
ladies?
We really are. I mean, we are all equals, but it's a really equal playing ground. Like, I know of a 20-year-old whose date was, meet me here at the club, and she's like, how much is it to me? She calls me like, oh, you know this space, this plot, right? I'm like, how much is it to get in? And I'm like, well, it's about this. She's like, oh, I'm going on a date, we're going to meet there. And I'm like, so why are you asking me about the prices? But that was their date. Like, let's meet up. I'm going to pay my way, you pay your way. You know, and I was just like, wow. And I'm like, that doesn't bother. She's like, looking like, huh? How much is it to get in? You know, and I'm excited to go and see this cat. And that's how they date. That there's not necessarily this lady treat me, pamper me expectation. It's like we're all in this fun world together playing, and you know,
I also think too it might definitely play into how comfortable and how quick they delve into the sexual realm of things, because I felt like when this young lady was saying that to me, it was as if to say, you know, I don't date to covet the sexual experience. Like, if I feel like I want to get it and we just went out, then we're just going to get it.
And your expectations change too. Because I remember when I was 20, you know, I wasn't like, could he make a good husband? I'm like, hey, y'all, you can get us in VIP at the Century Club. Who's down? I love him. I
stepped away from the table, but I'm just curious, the conversation that you guys had about dating abroad. I'm curious as to how many Black American women are dating men from other places. Now, we always hear about the sister that's hooked up with the Nigerian or something, and it's always right. some crazy drama about that relationship right there. But aside from Nigeria, are there other men from other countries yes. that are checking for Black women? Yes. Black men, really,
yes.
too.
Yes, yes, yes. And I have a cousin who's, you know, she's like, what's wrong with Black women? Why aren't we? And she's dating someone that's Indian. She's like, why aren't we? You know, like, what's wrong? She's like, what's wrong with sisters? You know, like, what's wrong with us that we are limiting ourselves to Black men? And it's nothing she went out and sought after. Mm-hmm. It's just nothing she blocked out. She didn't consider it.
And see, that's
not
smart.
An option.
That's smart, you know? Especially because Indian people
the
in
family,
general,
though, is not necessarily accept. That's a whole different thing. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right.
But there, as far as like a look, there are a lot of voluptuous Indian women, so their mm-hmm. bodies are similar to Black women. So for her to make a connection with an Indian man is probably not that far off, you know, in right. terms of attraction.
And they got the complexions too.
Yeah, because Black right. men love Indian women. Indian mm-hmm. women just tend to be a part of a culture.
I dated one.
They don't. Yeah.
We're not talking about I got Indian in my family.
y'all go to the Caribbean, you'll see it's all up in there.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But
you get to hear from the source.
Drop the mic. I know that he's just right there,
sister.
And on that note,
okay. Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. We got Malaysian and Brazilian now.
I don't even know how to come back after that.
I'll say this with your cousin. The fact that she's open. The fact that she's open to it, I'm glad that there are women, sisters out there, who are like,
yeah.
Okay, what's the problem?
Like, yeah, she's 31 and she's right. open and she's like, what? And she questioned, like, what is wrong with us? Why wouldn't we?
Right.
You know, yeah. why wouldn't we? And like right. I said, there's nothing she sought after, but it wasn't anything she excluded. She's right. like, I love men. And so, hey, you know yeah. what I mean? And the one who happened to capture my heart right now, I'm not on Black woman pride. You know, I'm not on this. I'm a Black woman all day, every day. But why should I limit my beauty
To just
this year?
Because you might have brothers actually come back around, because that whole like, oh, you can date who? Why don't you just date who you want? Be like, all right, cool.
I will.
And then
it's
like, wait. I didn't.
And, you know, and then like,
allow me to introduce you to Akbar.
You know, we got. You know, and then we'll have that conversation 30 years from now. How come there's so many sisters dating outside right. the race?
I would just like one day for you guys to experience that. I really would. Yeah. For us to be all on that's Facebook, you know, showing like the little Indian man with the penis down to his knees. Like, they packing too, brothers. What you gonna do? You And him holding both of our babies, like, and he didn't run out. And it's only one of us. I want one day of it so that y'all can walk in our shoes and see how, man, we just putting you out there on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
We hate it after 5 minutes.
Yeah. See, right. Just the thought. I'm like, I don't like that.
Look at that credit score. Damn. Bam.
And the truth comes out.
Right.
Right. And his mama loves me.
To me, that's probably the biggest barrier. When it comes to it, so many people in other races, their culture is so tight that they dating outside the race for a lot of them has not been a thought.
Right.
To me, the group that used to do it and still does it most prevalently are Asians. Asian women love yes. them, everybody other than the people that's within their race.
I was just going to say that. And there was an article or something written that said the largest group of single people are Asian men and black women. Yes.
who physically would not get together. Although, if you go to Asia, let me tell you.
We'll talk off the mic.
Right. But for some reason, yes, the American ones don't. They're not getting that same diet.
I'm going to put them some on Facebook like he's packing.
I've been watching Tumblr lately. I've been seeing the black women like, oh, look at this Asian guy. He fine.
There are some fine ones.
Well, here we go.
There are some fine ones.
Hello.
The whole world's about to turn into
the Black Women's Playground. Yes.
We all going to be brown somewhere. We're going to be brown somewhere.
Get it, sisters. Get it.
Oh, Lord.
Go grab your international stilettos and let's do it.
I wouldn't be mad. You know what? Yeah. As long as you're happy. That's all I'm saying. As long as you're happy, you know. And living the life that you want to live, you know, happily, you know,
but be it here or abroad. Yeah.
Right. Get out there, ladies. It's St. Patty's Day. Your man might be Irish.
Right. At the bar right now.
I'm all for finding somebody who makes you happy.
Yes.
But if you don't want to date, if you black and you don't want to date somebody who's black because they are black,
right, then that's I have a problem.
The problem is you.
Yes.
That problem would be you. My thing is, don't blame the entire black race for you not being able to find somebody within the black race.
And get rid of that superlative. Too. She's too. Right. You're too mouthy.
Right.
You're too loud. You're too sassy.
You don't know how to pick.
Right.
Like, pick one that don't seem to talk at all.
Your picker.
And then holler at her.
Your picker is broke.
On that note, thank you so much for joining us. Please tune in for the next Black Is Break. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks, Daryl.
International.